Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, since artificial intelligence went mainstream, concerns have been raised about the jobs that it might replace. And while those fears are well-founded, there are also jobs that will be created by the new technology. Today, a new report from Morgan McKinley said large companies have cut graduate roles by 33% because of AI. Well, let's get more on this. I'm joined by Dr. Andrew Hines, who's lecturer at the School of Computer Science at UCD. Andrew, hello again to you, and thank you for being with us. So we're fascinated with this topic about AI and jobs and what it's going to impact and what it's impacting already. So first to that report today, that graduates might be losing out as AI is replacing some of those jobs that graduates traditionally would have taken as a first step on the ladder. Is that happening?
As with a lot of these stories, Claire, the jobs that are being advertised versus the jobs that are being replaced, we've got to look at the narrative and who's spreading the narrative on these. That some of it is that companies want to hide the wider economic climate. Some of it is the political things that are going on worldwide. But definitely there is, it's without a doubt that when it comes to jobs, while some jobs will get replaced, all jobs are going to have some interaction with AI in them. And that's mm-hmm. something that people need to learn and adapt to.
But do you think there are some jobs in, you know, data processing and in finance functions, for example, that might already have been taken over by AI?
So, yes, there's some research that Stanford were doing on what kind of jobs do people want AI to replace. And I think this is an important way to look at it, is what jobs can it replace versus what jobs do we want it to replace. And while the big tech companies are economically, they need to sell AI, they need to get the market share, they need to make it that they're the ones in control of these things. So it's definitely being embedded in things. AIB announced this morning that they've got a partnership with Microsoft. They have a chatbot called Abby. They have they're going to use it for within their programming. They're embedding Copilot in it. But when you look at the research from Stanford, they were talking about, well, yes, there's a lot of repetitive jobs like filling in tax forms, filling in things that people don't like doing anyway, and that AI is quite good at doing. So there are great jobs to replace and to adapt to allow AI to take the drudge out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other jobs where we completely don't want it to. There's jobs like in terms of customer service. When you ring up the customer call center, or you, 90% of the things a chatbot can deal with really well and can answer the simple questions for you and can find the answers for you in a better way than a search on the web can, or even than a person on a call center line. But for the other 10%, where you actually really have a problem, where your bag is lost at the airport, And you know there's an issue here that can't be solved by the general FAQ questions, they're the jobs that you want to actually talk to a person for.
Yeah, and when you encounter a chatbot in that type of a situation, it's enough to push you over the edge, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But they are being used an awful lot and more and more.
And this is part of where I think we do need to be careful of where the narrative and where the push for AI adoption is coming from, because it's in the interests of the AI suppliers to make it that everyone adopts it for everything. They want to push it, and OpenAI submitted a white paper to the Australian government telling them how they had to get this into education, or it was going to set them behind. But when you look at it, well, they're trying to sell a service. They're trying to embed it that you become dependent mm-hmm. on the AI. So it's in their interest to say this.
Of
but
course.
What do they know about education? Are they the experts in that?
Yeah, so there's got to be a series of checks and balances here, and we've got to know what the product is and who's selling it. But when it comes to things like translation jobs, is AI really making a big dent there?
It's... If you look at translation now compared to 3 years ago, even the automatic translations that you can get for languages now are fantastic compared to the way they used to be. But are they perfect? No. Can they be relied upon in important situations? No. The Irish...
Why not?
Well, so the Irish Public Service guidelines are now recommending where and where not AI should be used by people working in the public sector. And one of the places that they say it should be or could be used is in translation. But if you look at things where translation, even a slight nuance in a word due to the context of it, can completely change the meaning of something. And there's been wars started over this. This is where, do you use it in real-time diplomacy? Absolutely not. But can you use it to translate your email and get the gist of what's going on? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But would you use it in a legal contract? Well...
So you're going to need a human to check over those things, but the concentration of labour is going to be a lot less than it would be if the human was translating the entire document from scratch.
It is, but again, this is where you look at it and go, in many professions, in software, in law, there's been a tradition that once you've done your kind of basic degree and training in it, that you do a lot of kind of apprenticeship training and you learn things on the job. And how do you learn on the job? Well, you don't get given the really high risk and really important things to do. You get given the other things to do so that you can learn, you can get the context, you can see the things, but you're not mission critical to it. But if all of that gets taken over by AI, the ability for people to learn as they go along and to develop the skills so that they become the experts in it is going to disappear in the long term.
But you're relying on employers then to take that long term and quite moral view of the world.
And that kind of long term versus short termism is something that we've seen, like even going back to the dot-com boom, this was an issue in software was... Everybody went and there weren't enough software developers, so people were getting paid more and more, but they were hiring people with less and less experience and putting them developing the product on day one and not giving them time to learn on the job to do it right. And so a lot of stuff had to get redone over the years later.
You've touched on law there. Is it being used a lot by legal practices for jobs like finding case history and finding precedent, which I would imagine a more junior member of staff would be sent off to hunt for previously?
It is. And if you... Like anecdotally, what you see is that people who were born and grew up before the internet era are actually sometimes better at doing desk research, looking for things, because they learned how to search in a library. Mm-hmm. People who've learned to search with the internet have learned how to search with Google. There's going to be another learning curve now to learning to search with AI and learning how to trust it, how to write prompts, how to know whether what you're getting is actually the right answer, and knowing how to go and check and make sure that what you're getting is something that you can rely upon. Because historically, we used to rely on trust between individuals. You built up a relationship with them. You knew what they knew, what they didn't know. Whereas now it's, if you're dealing with a computer screen, how do you know what they know?
Right, so you use it, but you're going to have a particular type of skill set to combined with the AI so that we can be sure we can trust it. That's what
Absolutely.
You're telling us.
Yep.
And is that pretty much across the board then that you see that this will be working in conjunction with humans rather than replacing them?
Yes. So I think if you look back to a standard office like 50 years ago, there were no computers in it. There were typewriters in it. There was a lot more time being spent doing the humdrum retyping or copying of things. Now, that's changed, and we are going to have it that we're going to have new roles, like you could look at it as kind of an AI shepherd, the person who is looking after the AI agents, so the virtual chatbots or whatever, making sure that they're doing what they're doing, checking what they're doing, and basically being the supervisor of what they're doing as
so
well.
So AI shepherds, that's probably a new job title that we're going to encounter more and more, but also there's going to have to be a lot of education provided around how to use AI and do it safely.
Well, you may not have noticed, but your job has suddenly changed. You've adapted your job recently and you've become an AI literacy teacher to the country. You're getting me in here to talk about AI.
While learning as I do that.
but absolutely. But it's the fact that it's been recognised by you and by shows that we need to do this. And every time I'm talking to you, we're giving a slightly more balanced view, I would hope, of AI and how it's going to change things. And that's bringing everybody's level of education in these things up and literacy that we need to be able to make informed decisions.
And will all companies need an AI officer, do you think?
I think so. I think when we look to what's happened in the past, if we look at GDPR and the kind of data protection officers and things like this that have become roles in companies to manage it, I do think that with AI, there's a danger that AI is introducing mission critical things to companies and introducing things that it can do that put people at risk. And the fact that you can put people at risk means
as in jobs.
No, I'm not talking about jobs here. I'm talking about the fact that it's putting the decisions that an AI might be involved in could put people at risk to their lives. And as a result, there's going to be a job that needs to be the AI governance officer or AI compliance, or even going to the extreme of, are we going to need professional regulation for AI in the same way as a doctor or a lawyer or a structural
yes.
engineer needs to be a professionally regulated body in order for them to make sure that they have some skin in the game. They
mm-hmm.
know that if they make bad decisions, their reputation and their ability to work is at risk.
Okay.
Whereas at the moment, the big companies have the power dynamic there that they can stop these people from raising their hand and going, this is a bad idea.
Andrew, I think that's where we'll pick up the next time you come in, because there's plenty to explore there. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Andrew Hines. Let's go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.